impersonating an officer, resisting arrest, fraud, reckless driving, and lying to the sheriff. I'll be at home if you need me.
Okay, Sheriff.
Who do you think I look like? Dirty Harry?
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back, or to Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 463. I be Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, so you want to be a witness. Witness this, Dunaway.
Yar, and I be Brian, and I witnessed it quite well. Oh, hi. All right, old fellas, the Don has ordered us to take out Sleepy Joe Marcellino before he can testify against the family, but the FBI has stashed him away in a remote location. However, I have a plan. First we take a train, then we take a walk, then we take a boat, then we take a car, then we take a helicopter. Hold on, Tony. I'm doing the plan over here. And where was I? Oh, yeah. Then a station wagon. Then the Oakside Boys Club bus. No, wait. That's next week. Back the bus up. Beep. Beep. All right. We get off the station wagon, shoot some feds, play some Trivial Peace, seal our fates by whacking the son of an FBI agent, and bibbidi-bobbidi-boop. Sleepy Joe Marcellino takes his last nap. Any questions? What's the PEEF stand for? Pursuit. Jeez, guys, we are old fellas. We keep it clean. I mean, we still kill guys and stuff, but they probably deserve it, right? Hey, Tony, what are you making over there? That smells so darn good. No, I do not know what a cow's only contribution is. Is this one of them trivia pursuit questions? Ah, crap! Everybody down! Tony's got a shit cake, and all we have are these guns! Pew, pew, pew! Pew, 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 pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew, pew! Wow. Wow. I feel like sending someone over to your house just making sure everything's okay. That's all I want. Right.
How much caffeine had you had when you wrote that?
It was very good.
Just the usual.
Yeah, just the usual. Yeah, a couple shots of espresso. It's all good.
Just double shot espresso.
Yeah. In your veins.
with another double shot of espresso on top.
Yeah, with a monster up your butt. Yeah.
Up right. Your butt.
Hey,
thanks,
also,
old fellas.
Oh, thanks, old fellas. Also with us, Randy, the great magnet detector, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Randy.
Hey, boys, my crew's all done with all the extra work you wanted, such as painting your last name in mile-high lettering on them grain silos. We've just got three extra notes here for you before you sign out invoice. Number one, you ordered a lot of duffel bags. I don't know how you're going to keep track of them all. We divided them into two colors, black and yellow. But other than that, they're all the same. Did you want a stencil or something? Number two, you got 500 shotgun shells there, but I understand you're only going to fire that shotgun twice. Maybe you want to wear some of them as a belt? I don't know, but it's a lot. Number three. Now, I just want to double check the amount of hair grease you said you wanted for this thing. We delivered it on a pallet out back, and it's way more hair grease than we ever seen in one place. What's that? Oh, I see. You're also going to use 25 pounds of it to ice one cake. All right, you're the boss.
That cake was gross, man.
Oh, I know. There's a place... where you have to color your cake frosting, and that wasn't it. She stopped too soon.
Yep. Yeah. Too soon. That is exactly that is a great take. I agree with you. Also, she was, man, hard woman to live with. All right.
Ooh, yeah.
With us finally.
Amy, come on.
Brian,
we're having a baby.
Brian, mob bosses really hate TV's Ibbot.
God, he does. And here he is right now, as a matter of fact. Well, Joseph P. Brenner, what is the P? Never mind, where did that one? If you're going to be working with us, it's high time you met the rest of my gang. First is Frankie Guntosser. Why is he called that? Well, you see, Frankie gets his name because when he gets shot, his hands go up in the air and he tosses his gun behind him. That's how a lot of the gang gets their name. Let's meet some more of them. Right here is Johnny Jumpback, Danny Double Somersault, Sam the Squealer, Piss Pants Pete, and Richie Twitches. He likes to hang out on top of the crane gravel pit. Oh, and I think you've already met Rock Tumbler Roland. Oh, I blew the punch. Oh, and I think you've already met Rock Tumbler Ronald. I needed to maybe have a little less alliteration in that one. Rock Tumbler Ronald.
It's hard. That's a hard one. It did a good job, though, I think. Yeah, this is if there's a word for like 70s ass looking action, this movie was all about that. The movie is Raw Deal.
Thanks, De Laurentiis.
Yeah, thanks, boy, Dino.
It's like they decided to make a throwback movie in the 80s to say, hey, here's how people died when they got shot in the 70s.
Yeah, here is one decade ago, everyone passed away in gunfights like this.
But what I love about this movie is that it gives these middle-aged character actors a chance to say some lines, and they do it so much like they're on Love Boat or whatever.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
This is so 80s TV, it hurts my head.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. The music, everything was like, where's Hannibal and the boys in the van? Like,
So you're the pain in Leminsky's ass.
What did we watch this week?
It's Raw Deal.
Raw Deal.
Oh.
The very first Raw Deal. The very first film ever released by the De Laurentiis Entertainment Group.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is it De Laurentiis or De Laurentiis? I've always called it De Laurentiis.
Doesn't matter. Bad name.
I got to finish the statement because their third and fourth films were Maximum Overdrive and Transformers. They went on to make Manhunter, Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
But their second movie, the second film released by De Laurentiis after Raw Deal, was My Little Pony the Movie.
Wow. Well,
after Raw Deal, they declared bankruptcy.
Was it right after this? Or it was a little while after this, right?
I thought it said in the Wikipedia that it was right after this, or it caused that to happen, and he had to sell.
Yeah.
He had to sell the Total Recall.
Yeah, they had really the Total Recall license. They had the whole thing, and then they had to sell it, probably for the better, because they made a better, that was a better movie.
Right. I don't know.
I mean, I'd be curious to see what a De Laurentiis Total Recall would have looked like as opposed to the Carolco. Because as much as we have a fondness and a nostalgia for the Carolco version, it isn't, you know, it's kind of cheese ball.
Oh, it's pretty dumb.
De Laurentiis didn't want Arnold Schwarzenegger in the lead, though. He had cast somebody else. Who would he, like Burt Reynolds or somebody?
Yeah,
it was somebody else, I wouldn't have suspected. It wasn't
Kurt Russell or something.
Somebody like
that. It was something else.
Oh, you know what it was? Dennis Quaid for a hot second. And then Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze. That's it. No, I would not want. Yeah. Do not want.
Yeah. Nobody puts Quado in the corner.
It's funny because this movie is so, it feels like peak Schwarzenegger. Mm. It really feels like it was made for him. Like he got into it like a suit and then filled it all out. You know, the whole movie, it's sort of like I was talking about that thing where you have a couple of these vaguely mobsterish actors talking to each other in a upscale suite looking over Chicago. Mm-hmm. But really, like, that could have been anyone. Like, really, that could have been women. That could have been anyone.
Yeah.
But Schwarzenegger feels like he made the movie.
I want to brag on Schwarzenegger for a minute because he did. He went all in a movie he really could have stayed all out of because, according to the trivia, he didn't. This was his conceit not to have to make any more of the Conan the Barbarian movies, which he was still under contract for.
Yeah.
So, and he really wanted Total Recall, and De Laurentiis wouldn't give it to him. So I find it interesting that Schwarzenegger was such a professional that he went all in.
Yeah, he did go all in. You're right.
What I love about this movie is that it's not just Schwarzenegger killing people, because it's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. Trust me. But it's a film that starts with Schwarzenegger as a sheriff and in a shitty marriage, and it's a film that ends with him having a really heartfelt moment with Darren McGavin as his old best friend, and it's like
That there's a whole, there's actual story there. It's not good, yeah, but it's, right. They throw themselves into it.
Yeah,
they
it's okay, but I honestly, of all the Schwarzenegger movies I have, and that's an important distinction I want to make, I haven't seen everything he's done. Like that more modern thing where he's a town sheriff thing. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen one where his kid's a zombie. I haven't seen that. So that's, I can't.
Wait, I thought we watched that for film.
Yeah, we did watch The Last Stand for film sex.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Did we really?
Did we really? But we didn't watch Maggie, which is a fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't see that. Okay. Well, anyway, of all the Schwarzenegger movies I've seen that I remember seeing, Raw Deal's my least favorite now. And here's why. I think this, Randy's right. He fills the screen. He's Schwarzenegger. You can't ignore him. And the action, there are moments of action that are actually pretty great and some great one-liners.
Last 20
and the things. Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of dead air and TV trope stuff that feels like this is just taken off of ABC Thursday night drama time. Absolutely. Like, it's just not a, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like Hawaii Five-O style, and I don't mean the new one, but Hawaii Five style action and acting, but with swears and blood in it. And that's how this felt to me. It was like a weird, like uncut version of a TV drama, a cop drama. And I just don't think it's anywhere even close to his
right.
best movie.
This falls into, now don't get me wrong, Chuck Norris is fine, but there were some movies with Chuck Norris around this time that felt more like this. Now, Chuck Norris back in the day did more lower budget films. And while this film was a lower budget film, it was still Schwarzenegger, $10-12 million for the budget, and it's not the story you would expect
they
to
actually,
see Schwarzenegger.
They actually claim $8 million. Schwarzenegger was paid for. Like,
right.
It's kind of remarkable how cheaply they made this movie. They made their money back in the opening week.
They must have got free truck rentals because there was a lot of equipment in this movie, and it must have been free.
I just want to say to Scott's point, I certainly wouldn't put this in my top 10 Schwarzenegger movies. Yeah. But if you were saying to me, like, you got to watch a Schwarzenegger movie right now, is it going to be Raw Deal, or I would watch Raw Deal over The Sixth Day, over Collateral Damage, over Junior for sure.
Oh,
I don't think I saw Junior.
I would watch this. I would definitely watch this over Red Sonja. Red Sonja is just garbage.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of like Red Sonja for his just...
Well, he's barely in it, though, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a Bridget Nielsen
movie.
Film.
Yeah,
that's a cameo.
With a cameo by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
What hurt this movie the most, in my vision, is it came out at the same year as Cobra, which was a way much better break into the crime syndicate.
We're
going
to
break it up. Rogue
We're
going
to have to sack it and see, because I don't believe you right now.
Yeah,
I've
never seen
you,
it.
Cobra
so
kills it.
Cobra is awesome. I've seen it. It's been a very long time, so the details are fuzzy, but I remember thinking Cobra was badass.
Bad.
Like
can I give you the top six Schwarzenegger films according to the internet?
Go ahead.
According to the internet.
Does the internet all get together and agree on
which one?
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is tough. Yeah, this is tough, though, because the top six leaves out a couple of movies. Like, this is kind of notorious. So it's Terminator, Terminator 2, Predator, Commando, Total Recall, and True Lies.
I was gonna call BS if True Lies did not appear on this list.
Predator's the top. I mean, that's Schwarzenegger.
Oh, Predator for sure. I freaking love
90% of the time is Schwarzenegger in Predator. Terminator and even Terminator 2, he's there, but he's not the central.
Don't forget
character.
When he says get to the chopper, that's from Predator. Mm-hmm. Like some of his most like that stuff's Predator, man. Like I would say Total Recall maybe second place as far as stuff you remember about pulling that thing out of his nose.
Right.
The whole 2 weeks thing.
See,
and all that.
I'd still have to, because Running Man was not in that list. I'd have to replace one of those with Running Man. I don't know which one, but
I don't either.
I also like
Terminator 1. I mean, he was barely even in it. Yeah. He was barely even a thing.
Maybe Terminator 1, but that is considered his best movie, and it's because everybody else in it acts the hell out of it, you know?
Yeah, because it's a good movie. There's two different, that we've got to make a distinction, good Schwarzenegger movies or our favorite performance
good
by Arnold
Schwarzenegger.
Appearance of Schwarzenegger.
Right, and I just don't think Raw Deal is it. Like, it feels like Raw Deal is a TV show that would have been on TV, and then the TV producer said, guys, guess what? A friend of a friend is Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's going to be
right,
in this.
Right.
And they said, oh my gosh, we got to make this a full theater movie then, because it'll make tons of money. I know that's not what happened, but that's how it feels. It feels like he is guest starring in a thing that's below him.
And I totally disagree with Randy about this being feeling like it's made for Arnold Schwarzenegger, because other than Schwarzeneggerisms like, oh, you got to watch the stuff you put in your body, and oh, would you like to go get some exercise? I know a 24-hour fitness around the corner. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but this really could have been Stallone. It could have been Kurt Russell.
But that was also my point. My point was that he completely remade the film in his image just by being in it. There's something about Schwarzenegger that you look back on this and you're like, anyone else would have just been anyone else. They would have all made the same movie. But there's something about him when the woman tears his shirt open and sees his chest, where you're like, wow, okay, yeah, this is so Schwarzenegger.
There's two things that he shines at here. He is first of all, he's super big. I mean, so when you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, he's going to throw some people around. He's definitely going to throw some people around. Didn't need to. I mean, this is mostly a gun-toting guy. So, and secondary, like Randy's talking about, his interaction with ladies from the 80s is a little bit, he's always kind of sweet, right? You don't feel like he is ever trying to weasel his way into bed. He's just...
No, he's just a big drunk buffalo in this thing. He's just
right.
Give me a trope alert.
Oh, all right. I can give you one. Hold on.
Woman is your prize. Subverted.
Right.
I was shocked to find out that this movie sets up the trope from the beginning that he's going to get a woman at a surprise. He not only does he get dumped by her halfway through, she comes back to him. And I'm like, now she's definitely going to be the prize. Nope. In the end, he gives her $250,000, doesn't even kiss her, and tells her, have a nice life. I hope
She played again, though. Sam. I hated her. I did not like that character, and here's why. There was nothing sympathetic about any of that. She's just a money grubbing.
And
when she said that at the table, well, she was at the gambling table. I say gambling table because I don't know what they were playing, but she was at the gambling table.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was something like that. But she's sitting there and she says, it doesn't matter if I lose the money. I always get new money anyway. Like some line like that. And by the end of the movie, I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's all this is. It's just men giving you money. You doing dirty work for them, willing to sell to let you, you know, to have sex with this beast just to get info out of him for that other guy that's in everything. Forgot his name. That actor. Anyway, she didn't deserve any of this. There's nothing about her.
Max is one of the FBI guys from Die Hard. That's the only thing I remember him as.
He was one of the Johnsons,
Robert Davey, right?
Yeah.
Robert Davey,
one of the Johnsons. Yeah. He's in so many things. But
we're going to need to get some new FBI guys.
Right. He's his favorite, my favorite of his is the Goonies. He is Jake. He's one of the brothers in the Goonies.
He's good in the Goonies. Yeah. A lot younger there.
Poor guys. So recognizable because of his pockmarked face.
Oh yeah, that's everything.
Like he shaves with a meat tenderizer or something.
Yeah. He's the biggest face on the License to Kill poster. Like he is.
Oh really?
Yeah, there's something about it, like they blew up his face to make him look even bigger than.
I think
James
he keeps all of his money in his little pocks. That's what he does.
Oh, poor thing.
He's a nice guy, I've heard. Anyway, but the point is, back to this lady for just a second. They were meant to be building sympathy for me, but even in moments like where, there's a stick up happening. Hey, lady at the clothes counter, can you call security? Schwarzenegger says it's a stick up, call security. And then she kind of pauses because she's kind of panicked. And the lady goes, call security, you bitch. Right. Or whatever she says.
You're right, Scott. Absolutely. The character was not meant to make us have sympathy for the character. She was basically there to prop up Arnold Schwarzenegger's character as being someone who at least needs to save someone inside the organization because he is essentially murdering everybody, murdering just all everybody in the whole thing, just coming through. So that was just to prop up his character.
And also she does save his ass twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's total magic. Mm-hmm. It's total magic. Like
in a weird that, way.
The setup at the cemetery, you're like, how's he gonna get out of this one? And then she shows up in the car, like, where did she come from? How did she know he was here?
Right.
What's she doing at this exact moment? Who cares? Her job is to save his ass.
He even asks her, how did you, what are you doing here? And she says, saving your ass. No, I mean, like, how did
literally,
you know?
Right.
Really? Like, don't gloss over that. Thank you for saving me. But no, really, why are you here?
I was pretty sure they were going to spin it and say that she was like an FBI agent, but they didn't.
It's like she was embedded the whole time. Okay. And yeah.
Yeah. I like she knew that. Yeah. Because they had said there was some other angles, but then we found out that the prosecutor guy was Stephen Hill, I guess. And I guess he was, is that what his name was? And that's not
Stephen.
Him.
Oh, what is his
no,
name?
That's
I know
who
you
guy.
Mean. I know who you mean.
He's been in a million things. Like,
I can't think of his name or his stuff. Either. I know he's been in a million things. Actually, then Randy brought him up earlier, but all these character actors, they are from everything. They're just from all
Joe,
over.
Joe Regalbuto, is that his name?
Well, you had Ed Lautner. You had
Murphy Brown,
Sam Wanamaker, who played Luigi's, and he was in everything back then. I remember. I mean, the fact that we had, Stephen Hill was in this, and he was the DA in for a while on Law and Order. He's very good on there. But the person that kept jumping out to me was Harry, played by, if I can find his freaking name, Darren McGavin.
Darren McGavin.
Yeah. And I whenever I see him, I get worried because I watch him and go, I'm just going to think of the guy from Christmas Story. That's all it's going to be. Dad from Christmas Story. Yeah. It's going to ruin
it. Where's the lamp at?
Yep. And then about five minutes in, I'm fine. Darren McGavin's a good actor. He deserves more than
so
me.
So much
Oh yeah,
makes you laugh all the time. Even when he is dying by the graveside of Blaine, he's all like, no, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. I'm going to be good.
It's a flesh wound. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
He was pretty cool.
My uncle used to watch a show called Night Stalker, Kolchak the Night Stalker.
Oh, we did this for Autopilot. Tom and I did.
We did. Oh yeah. And we might have even talked about doing an episode for FilmSack at one point, but it was basically like the X-Files of the 70s. Like, he was going and investigating things like werewolves and vampires and things like that.
Interesting.
And so ever since then, that's, like, I've always liked watching him show up on things.
Darren McGavin's great. He's just
he really is.
He died, I don't know how many years ago, but he was, if you remember the
14,
he could do comedy too. Yeah. He was great in not only Christmas Story, but that,
Billy Madison?
Yeah, Billy Madison. That was the one. He played the rich dad who was trying to get his son to learn how to work for himself or whatever.
He was also in a movie called Dead Heat, which is a lot like Red Heat, which is not what we watched this week.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do Red Heat or Dead
Heat. So last week, Randy asked last week, anybody seen Raw Deal? And I'm like, yeah, I love Raw Deal. Yeah. No, I love Red Heat.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, you had it wrong.
I'd actually seen part of Raw Deal. I saw the shit cake scene one time before.
Shit cake.
So I knew that. Right. But the rest of it, no. It was like, I never sat down and really watched this. I've seen parts of it.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, some interesting casting. We mentioned Catherine Harold, who's the non-love interest.
Right.
the friend interest.
Right. The friend zoned interest.
She was Loud in Magruder and Loud.
Yeah.
She was also Larry Sanders' ex-wife on the Larry Sanders Show. And she shares the same birthday as me.
Happy
birthday,
whatever that is. But and who are we just not the shit cakes lady, Amy Blanche Baker. She was the sister, the older sister in 16 Candles, the one that gets
what
drunk for her own
wedding. Oh, that's why she looks familiar.
I thought she looked familiar.
Yeah, she looked familiar.
That makes sense.
And Tina gets credit because the second she appeared on screen, Tina says, oh, isn't that the older sister from 16 Candles?
Mm-hmm. And nice.
Yeah,
do a deep dive and look that up.
She's kept Blanche Baker has kept very busy. She's done fine for herself.
I like how I really thought she was going to be our chick in the bucket, but I can't quite determine if she is or not because we never see her again.
The wife? Oh, right. Totally chick in the bucket.
We do
dude.
Get the full story, right?
I'd say chick
she's a wife in the bucket for sure.
Don't you know it's dangerous to leave a bucket lying around?
She's the chick in the bucket.
100%. Yeah, the fact that she
we mention her
that it's really set up that. Oh, it's pretty much a failed marriage. She's always angry. She's drunk. She's apparently aggressive or abusive or cake thrower or whatever. Arnold's going to get out of this and he's going to hook up with
our girl.
The other girl.
Our friend's own.
So he puts her to bed drunk and then she spends the rest of the movie sleeping.
She does. That's pretty much what we expect. She's the chick in the bed.
Yeah.
Right. Never see her again.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There are probably more too, because they're, well, I'll give you a whole set of chicks in the bucket, except they're dudes. The entire crew, and this is in the trivia confirming this, but I noticed this in the show, in the thing. The entire crew from the beginning, all the hitmen that
old,
were all
the old fellas?
Yeah, all the old fellas. That was it. They never showed up again. Yeah. They were done. That was it. None of the hitmen.
But I kept thinking, man, that's a really long silencer on that gun. Is that how silencers work?
I really wanted to go look it up. Yeah, that was
longer the silencer, the silence, more silence the bullet.
Yeah.
Right.
Got to watch out.
So yeah,
by that time he was almost touching the guy in the face. By the time it's like, hey, I got a silencer. Whoa,
yeah, this is all true.
It was real equipment. I was amused that it made a different sound the second time he fired it. I like, there's a lot of nonsense around the sounds that guns and cars make in this movie.
Yeah, big time.
Like, I don't even know. Like. So the movie, one of the first things in the movie is, this movie isn't set up to have a lot of car chases. So they like shoehorn one in early on, and Schwarzenegger driving a Jeep chasing a fake cop on a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, that motorcycle guy gets away in real life. Yeah, yeah, he just leaves. Like there's no one in a Jeep that ever pursued a motorcycle that caught him.
Well, especially because he was like full on Spider-Man on that thing, like up on top of the logs and stuff. I'm thinking, right, dude, who are you? What are you doing?
That, you don't know, Randy. That might have been a moped underneath that. I was just dressed up like a cop bike.
Okay,
it was,
all right.
It was impersonating
a cop. Yeah.
It was playing a 14 horsepower motorcycle is what it was doing, and that's fine. It's just that this is supposed to be a great action scene, and it's. Okay,
yeah. It's but interesting.
There's a couple of points where they speed up, and the sound of the motorcycle isn't right, and the sound of the Jeep definitely isn't right. Definitely, the Jeep does not sound like that when you put the.
And thank God we're out of the 80s and maybe even the 90s, where we have cars that are on dirt roads making traction noises like they're on asphalt, because that just doesn't happen there. I'm like, you can't do that. That's dirt. Right.
Yeah. That's another trope, but every car that leaves in this movie peels out. Every car. You do not leave like a normal human. You squeal out of there.
Yeah, you get the H out of there. It's interesting,
and everybody,
though.
And apparently every large equipment, moving equipment, these are keys right there for you to grab a hold of them.
Yeah, those are non-approved OSHA violations, every single one of those things. And also, how long can you... How long can you drive that thing through that building? Really?
That was great, though. That was such a great scene.
When all of the cinder blocks are basically just stacked on top of each other haphazardly, then...
Yeah,
there was many examples. I don't know if this is a trope, but this movie screamed to me how many times somebody brought a knife to a gunfight. I was like, oh,
that's a good one.
This guy brought a truck to a gunfight.
Yep.
He's going to win. This guy brought this, and it was just all through the movie.
Yeah, he just proxied.
Like inappropriately.
Just a bunch of proxies for knives.
Right.
And then somehow he'd still win. But when he went through that building, and as Ibbett mentioned, there was no mortar on those bricks, but also who hides 15 mannequins up in a freaking attic?
That was so weird. Like, oh, no, that's the illegal gambling spot right underneath the mannequin warehouse.
Really?
There's a lot of mannequin violence in this movie.
I wonder if they had like those left over, like they were using them for the different, like dead doubles that they didn't need to do. I don't know.
I see what you're saying, like throwing Jimmy down the rock tumbler. It's another one of those mannequins.
It's like, well, we got them all here. They just brought the truck in. Might as well just use it for this first scene
here. Use them as filler. We'll make sure that in the clothing store, Arnold Schwarzenegger throws every bad guy against a mannequin.
Right. Now, this movie had something that 80s TV did a lot. And I think what happens is you go to a location. You just happen to be at a location as a filming scout. Has nothing to do with any movie you're currently working on. And you just think someday in the future, maybe you'll use it. And like that railroad tie, the railroad planks that were in that one scene where Schwarzenegger's chasing the motorcycle guy. It's like, there's no way anybody literally thought that up and said, you know what would be cool? Having a motorcycle drive over all top of those railroad planks
stacked railroad ties.
Stacked like
you go,
that.
You go,
like,
driving around out in the country, you find a yard full of rail ties, and you find the manager happens to be leaving. You're like, hey, would you like to make $500? We want to come over here on Saturday and film.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's how that works. You don't write that.
Except with the whole grain silos thing. I would love to hear a full explanation of how the director of the film got his last name painted in huge letters.
Irvin Oil.
On some grain silos. I love that so much.
Yeah.
Did he buy the facility? Maybe he just purchased it.
Just buy it. He blew it up. Oh,
so
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. There's a great, well, I don't want to give anything away, but there's a great Better Call Saul thing this current season where a thing like that happens. The owner of something blows up something he owns.
Right. You know what? But what was crazy? What was crazy is
I was careful.
How many times I had to like turn my brain off during this movie going, there's no way I can pull for a guy who kills himself in such unnecessary terms to blow up a whole oil manufacturing facility, refinery, and do all that just so he can say that he's dead and traumatize his poor wife. Yeah. I'm like, holy crap. Couldn't he have figured out something else?
It's a little much. A little much. Yeah, a little.
Wonder what the cake looked like that she served at the wake.
Right.
Right?
Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. That cake must have been.
That was a huge shit cake. Huge.
That was a sheet shit cake.
Yeah, sheet shit cake.
The whole thing.
I made a GIF out of that cake because it was so gross. I'm going to use it forever.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's just the wrong color. If you're going to do a chocolate cake, you got to go full in. You got to make
worst
that chocolate.
Worst episode of British Bake Off ever.
There it is.
Right.
Hey, we got to do a little scrutiny. Hold on.
Scrutiny.
All right. I found a piece of trivia that I just don't understand. It says, It took months for Arnold Schwarzenegger to master walking and swinging both arms extemporaneously.
I saw that. I don't know what, like, basically, are they just saying that when he walked, his hands just stayed perfectly by his sides, and so he had to...
If your arms are
that big, they would too, right?
I just don't know what it means. I try to get my head around it, and I'm thinking, could Arnold not... So extemporaneously meaning non-symmetrical, right? This means sort of...
Yeah, like you're... Right, you move your right arm forward when your left leg goes forward, and then your left arm forward when you're... Right, like it's the opposite arm and leg go forward.
That's so weird. It is like they had to teach men to walk. You know what that might be? It might be all of that muscle lifting, body training is very symmetrical, right? It's very and then back and then this and then back. And then maybe a guy like that needs, he does walk funny. He always has a little bit, you know, bulky and those thighs are not, you know, they're not moving themselves. So
yeah, if you ever really want to mess with your brain, try walking where your right arm moves forward when your right leg moves forward. You look like you're constantly trying to shake people's hands.
Oh, weird. I want to try that. I'm trying to imagine it without moving.
That guy's an alien. Telling you.
I want to figure it out. All right. Well, we've done scrutiny then. There's a little bit of scrutiny there.
We scrutinized it.
Also, this is the first of two times where Arnold Schwarzenegger enters a gay bar as part of his work. I want to take you to a gay bar. I love that song. Says he
Am I getting this confused between the gay bar, because they were like kind of like crossing lines between gay bar and
it was like what do you call
it,
like
drag,
show?
Like a drag,
that's what I was looking for. Drag.
It was less purple martini or what's the place in police academy, the blue iguana.
The blue iguana.
I think what's happening here is this movie is in the 80s and was making no fine distinctions, because they had dudes making out in the corner, a couple of guys talking out front, being all flirty.
Yeah,
like I think they were just like
a lot of leather
it.
And one nice pair of assless chaps.
What they were really saying was, all right, we're going to show you some stuff you won't understand.
Yeah, they were just lumping it all together and saying gay, and that was was.
I was trying to figure out what was that crowd, because that was a very crowded bar. Like that was
packed
as you could be. What were they there to see? Every glimpse we got of the stage was just a couple of women in dresses kind of walking around.
Yep.
I don't understand what the show was.
You're not gonna mention the bad hair?
I mean, you can. Do you want to mention the bad hair? Tell us about the bad hair.
Yeah, Randy just walked right past the bad hair, didn't even mention it. Whatever. You saw
hair? Was she in the back, like in the backstage area, or say she?
No, the lady right in the face, the one who was doing the lip syncing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was bad.
Candy on the main stage,
right? It's like one of those hairstyles that you go, you didn't have any mirror behind you, you just did everything up front. Everything was front do.
Yeah, front do. No back dude.
Oh, well, I'll tell you another trope that was really nice.
Oh.
So the main henchman with the pockmarked face is totally set up to get subsumed by Schwarzenegger climbing the ladder of the mob from the inside. Mm-hmm. But no. He's actually what he said he is, which is good at his job and really figures good out what's going on. It doesn't work for him. He still gets killed, but it was so awesome to me to see him realizing, like, when they're up in the dressing room and Schwarzenegger steps in front of him and keeps him from killing one of the moles. Like, he realizes that he's being played. Mm-hmm. Like, I just thought that was brilliant.
He's street smart, and I like that too. I agree with you. But what he's not good at is making plans. Like that one hit that he was pulling on the guy in the bulletproof car.
Yeah.
Not well-planned.
With
not
the well-planned stenciling on the window that says bullet resistant glass. Yeah. Who puts that on the glass?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was a bad plan. It worked out for him, but it was a bad plan.
It was a weird plan. I will agree there. But it is a fun trope to play with. I like this kind of you know what's okay. This is gonna sound weird. A better movie of this type, in terms of like the dude you hired can do anything and is a total badass, but his personal life's kind of a mess, all that stuff. There's a better version of this right now, and it's out now, and it's brand new, and it's called Extraction, and it's fantastic. Wow. And it's a lot more military, a lot more action, a lot more stuff, but it's kind of this idea a little bit. And it's probably because I just came off of that and loved that so much. I really, really enjoyed Extraction. That this came off as like a weird old cartoon version of this, of a similar concept.
Now, is Extraction the title as appropriate as Raw Deal is this?
No, it's Extraction is exactly appropriate. And
okay, so we expect Extraction. Okay.
Yeah, in this movie, I don't know what the Raw Deal is.
I mean, everybody gets a Raw Deal.
Who was getting the Raw Deal?
A lot of people got a Raw Deal in this movie, but they never said Raw Deal. And that
I know
disturbed me.
It seemed like a perfect movie to use the phrase somewhere in the movie.
Right. Somewhere.
This is a raw deal. I wanted to hear Arnold do it. Go, I am getting a raw deal. He didn't do it.
Honey, you didn't cook me inside the cake. It's a raw deal.
It's a raw deal.
But he did. He did say he did like throw out this. I will be right back.
Oh, he did like multiple
one time. He's like, I'll be right back.
He did.
And I was
three,
like, that's
did,
not how you say it.
He did two or three of those, and I could tell that they were references, but that they were thinly veiled ones. Never did a full I'll be back, which he does in lots of movies just to be funny. And I don't know why they held back here and made it more obscure, but there you have it. Those are in my clips today, so we'll play those. Here's another trope.
Cigar smoking, pretty cool when Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah. He likes his stogies.
I'd hate to be around it.
He loves his stogies. Have you ever got, you guys heard of his quote about that? Hold on.
I like the stogie.
No, let me see if I can find it. It's really good. Arnold and stogies. Here it is. I'll play this.
I can smoke stogies in my house, first of all, because her father introduced me to stogies, and second of all, because I'm a stud. I'm ballsy. I don't take no shit from anyone. I smoke my stogie anywhere I want. I don't have to find a hideout place like you.
Is that from Pumping Iron?
I don't know what it's from.
No, I think that's what it feels like. That's way more recent.
Yeah, it's not like super like last year or anything, but it's something more recent-ish in the last. It's since he was governor, I think.
This movie was peak tobacco, man. It everybody smoked all the time in this movie.
Yeah, peak 80s tobacco is a time. That's definitely a thing, right?
And Schwarzenegger just throwing away like $5 and $10 cigars. He lights them up and throws them away. He's got nothing to, he's got no love for the other 95% of the cigar.
Right.
No, he doesn't. He keeps throwing them away and he like blew that one motorcycle guy up with it. And then, you know.
Well, it's like muffin awesome. Tops. Like the top of muffin the muffin top. Is great.
That was great.
And you throw away the rest of the muffin. I mean,
no, I don't.
Done.
I'm sure cigar lovers would agree. I'm sure.
Right.
The first bite of the apple is always the best one. The rest
but you know,
of them are just like
that's what I hear.
Eating half exposed apple.
Yep. There
but
you, go.
You know who did it better?
Who?
Stallone in Cobra. He just walked around with a match in his mouth.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Oh, he did have a match in his mouth the whole time.
Kept the mouth in his. It's like, what are you doing right now? I'm trying to quit smoking, so I got this match.
We have to watch that so bad, guys. We have to make it a priority. When the minute it pops somewhere. That thing gets shuffled into the front. I'm with
If you like the last 20 minutes of this movie, you'd like Cobra.
Yeah. Cobra's just so great, over the top, stupid.
Speaking of Cobra in the 80s,
yeah.
Did anybody get like a nostalgia feeling when they saw the big green dump truck to think that it was going to transform into a transformer?
No.
Oh, it did kind of. I didn't realize I felt that.
No, I didn't. I mean, I loved Transformers as a kid, and the Transformers animated movie. Do you remember the crew, like
the Wrecking Crew, or whoever they were called? What were they called? They were the big green Transformers. They were.
It was Wrecking. It was a whole series, wasn't it? Hold on.
Something like that, but I can't remember.
Transformers.
I meant to look it up.
Wreckers. They're called Wreckers.
Wreckers. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, the Wreckers. Here comes a Wrecker.
Yeah, they were. They were Decepticons,
and if you right? you could put them together, and you could put them together, and then make a bigger one. Oh,
yeah, they made a giant one, and he was called something. Yeah. It was called...
Impactor. No, is that it? Oh no, something.
Impactor. That's it. Impactor.
Oh yes, yes.
Yep.
Woo-hoo.
It was, and they were Decepticons. They were evil. They were not cool.
That's not cool, yo. But yeah. But you're supposed to be planes or whatever.
I take that back. They're very. Week. They're actually very cool, but they're.
Oh, they're wicked.
They were dicks. That's what I'm saying. Here's a trope. Money flying all over the place when you're at a casino bar place. So as soon as there's trouble and everyone's running for their lives, just money everywhere, just flying everywhere. Even though they're all playing with chips, nobody's got real money out on the floor. It's all chips. But no, as soon as the guns fly, money flying.
And then,
it's
really and good. Also the trope of no one cares about the money while they're fleeing for their lives, except one guy who tries to grab all the money.
Yeah, that guy's always there. The guy that runs around grabbing it out of the air, stuffing it in his pants.
Usually gets shot, too. Usually gets shot because he's being greedy and grabbing chips off the floor and stuff.
Most people value their lives way more than money in the moment. So that guy is actually portraying an opposite feeling. He doesn't care if he lives. He just wants to live with a little money for a minute.
Yeah, just a little to get him by. Although he's doing it more, he's going about it more honestly than the lady that left the country with $250,000 in her pocket, though.
Yeah. How do you feel about like our law enforcement, FBI? This is always happening in movies where they go, "Oh, I want to save this one individual, and I'm going to give them a bunch of the crook money,
the spoils."
Yeah. Doesn't that
stuff feels like it needs to get tracked? I think that stuff needs to go in evidence. You can't just say, "Well, you just won the lottery, help yourself."
Yeah, that's weird.
In the real world, that guy would be on a headline somewhere on the news, we would all go, "What a piece of turd." I mean,
yeah, collectively we would all say, "What a piece of turd." Yeah.
What a piece of turd.
I like the term, "what a piece of turd." That's a fun phrase. You piece of turd.
I do think that Carol Baskin's first husband is alive in Costa Rica or wherever he liked to go. Belize? Costa Rica.
Sure.
Right.
I really do think he is. And I do think it's possible, if you can get a bunch of cash together before 9/11, for you to get on a plane and go to some other country south of the United States and then live. I think it's possible.
It's entirely possible. It's so funny you bring that up. I listened to the podcast that came out before the documentary. Turns out those documentaries are kind of shifty.
Oh,
there's some shifty business happening.
Sensationalized?
There. More than that.
Trust me. If there was anything to Carol Baskin murdering him, they wouldn't have put the entire story in the third episode. That's how you could tell that's a bunch of BS. Right.
Yeah, it was just some well-made reality TV, and they weren't great at letting you know that that's what you were about to witness, and that kind of bums me out because it's just kind of against the code of documentarians. I won't say I didn't enjoy it because I did, but
absolutely. Well, there's those levels of documentaries.
You enjoyed a little bit less when you see the how much sensationalism there was.
It's kind of annoyed me.
I'm glad to say that Carol Baskin's finally off the hook for Kim Jong-un, though. Looks like he showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Although, so she didn't feed him to the tigers.
There's a lot of people, like Justin yesterday said, "How do you say Dave in Korean?" And I'm like, because he thinks that maybe isn't him.
Oh, he thinks it's a Kevin Klein Dave situation?
Yeah, that's what he thinks. Looks a little, something's weird about his face. Something's a little off. Nobody's quite sure if it's him, so. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Knows? I think you have to go with Occam's razor there. Like, if it was India, yes, but North Korea having a fake guy, no. They're too militant. They would be killing each other before they would be putting a fake guy out in front of a camera.
I did like the question though, Schrodinger. was curious about him. Is he alive? Is he dead? Does it matter? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then in this movie,
yeah.
Did you guys notice the elevator part?
The elevator part where the guy letting him in and said, "We don't have a basement." That guy.
No, that guy was super smiley. I like that.
The fake out.
The room full of gunmen as the elevator comes up.
Yep.
Ding.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and then all the shooting.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff.
Just make them waste all their bullets. Because yeah. I would think as a gang member, you'd wait for the doors to open and then just start filling it with bullets. Yeah.
Or just one guy shooting in the elevator. Probably plenty. Plenty. Yeah. I mean, somebody just in an elevator.
Right.
Pretty
right.
easy to hit.
Also,
pretty
take
easy.
Some cover because he may be opening that elevator with a huge semi automatic freaking, you know, 50 caliber bullet monster gun in there. You don't know. So get the hell behind something and then watch until it opens. Like, that was dumb.
There's some great uses of the empty elevator in other movies, though. I really like in The Professional. Do you remember The Professional?
Oh, yeah. I loved that. Leon.
Stallone.
He's supposed to be in the elevator, but he's not. And he put one of the bad guys in there.
Yeah.
So the bad guy, you know, is facing all of the.
So there's
risk.
A scene in Cobra where.
I think I was thinking of The Specialist. In those situations, I fully expect the good guy to drop down from a ceiling panel.
Yes.
And then start shooting
afterwards.
As soon as everybody's out of bullets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what Bruce Willis did in Die Hard?
Yeah, pretty much. Didn't he?
Also, Men in Black 2.
Not in an elevator, did he?
That's in Men in Black 2 as well.
What am I thinking of in Die Hard? He sent the chair down there with the guy attached to it.
Right.
That's right.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. Also, but also a fun one because they were all sitting there waiting for it to open to shoot whatever was in there, and it opened and it was their guy with a sign on him. Right. That's a parallel trope.
How many elevators do you know that open up into a room? I mean, just flat out open into a room.
Very few.
As opposed to a hallway.
Yeah, very few. Very few.
But that's a sign of wealth, right?
Is it?
Wealth is when you don't have to walk down a hallway.
Yeah, that's true. It was to the Nakatomi Plaza, dude. They had lots of money.
Well, I'm not sans hallway rich. I mean, sheesh.
Really wealthy.
The Nakatomis.
Elevator that just opens up into a penthouse suite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so nice.
The Nakatomis have lots of money so they can afford it. When I get my elevator one day, I want it to be in a loft somewhere and one of those kinds where you have to get down and lift up the thing like a garage.
Oh, yeah,
the metal gate and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go have two directions. Yeah.
Cool. Will you like you have to, sideways you have to lift and slantways? And,
Well, no. You have to first lift up your vertical blinds, then you can do your horizontal gates.
Oh,
so
you have an operator in there that like has instead of buttons on the side, he has a gear shift thing that adjusts which floor it's going to?
I don't know how that works. You got to have a dude in there. That's
You know what I'm talking about, right? Looks like,
yeah, absolutely. They did. They actually had a guy like that in the skit for SNL with Tom Hanks.
They did?
There you go.
A recent
one? I'm talking about.
I don't remember.
No, it's the Halloween one.
I don't remember that either.
Oh, yes. In the pumpkins.
The Tower of
David S. Pumpkins.
Yes, David S. Pumpkins.
Okay.
Yes.
Why do I not know that? I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen? You haven't even seen the animated special?
Nope.
Oh, see, now, David S. Pumpkins is one of the more recent ones that you probably should see.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. I actually really like their I like their stuck at home stuff they've been doing. I think is like some of the best work they've done in a long time.
The first hour of it's good. The first 45 minutes of it is good. They figured out the formula to make sure that they do the same thing with the stay at home version of SNL as they do with the live version, which
is the same trick.
Front load it with all the good stuff.
Yeah. What's everything that made us laugh really hard this week? Okay, do those first, and then maybe they'll stick around. Yeah.
Yeah.
SNL, that's their biggest problem. You know why? Because the thing runs so damn long. You just why is it an hour and a half or whatever it is?
They still had the two musical guests or the
musical
guests.
They had Miley Cyrus and she only did one song.
Well, this time
I was disappointed.
But normally
really
they
good.
Do. Yeah, she was good actually. That was a good performance.
Because that takes up almost 20 minutes of the show because it had to cut between commercials and everything else. I mean, it's a long time.
Did you guys watch the new Zoom episode of Parks and Recreation?
No, I heard it was funny.
Yeah,
though.
It was very impressive. I'm amazed at how they worked everybody into it, even like Pert Hapley
and they told some
John
little
Ralphio.
Stories, but they didn't drag it out. It just told exactly. some of the stories.
It was well, nice. It was exactly. They were all in character, right? Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did it have? Did Chris Pratt come down from his high loft and?
Oh yeah.
He came. Yeah, made a couple appearances.
Did he puff himself say, up a little?
He's
make
in,
himself
like, three scenes.
He should have eaten a cake before he went on there, because man, he's
a cake. Yeah.
Well, he was fat in the beginning, but he did slim down during the filming of Parks and Rec.
Like, it was way later late, seasons, though, right?
He was,
like season yeah.
on,
4 and 5.
On this new episode, he was cut.
He's all
dude
cut.
Is really in shape this week.
Yeah, he used to be a little.
He was a little more, Johnny Karate, a little less Burt Macklin.
I like the distinction. It's good. Hey, if you're thinking of there's something in this movie that grossed me out, you'd be wrong. I didn't find anything gross.
So, really?
Yeah.
Not even shit cake.
But what about no. that? Yeah, the shit cake was pretty
I mean,
gross.
It was
icing.
Gross, but I'd eat it still. Like,
oh, you'd eat that?
Yeah, if I had to. I wouldn't want to, and right now I'm off the show,
so
I wouldn't.
Want to? But, you can't make me.
Yeah, you can't make me eat it. But if that was presented to me and there was a piece on a plate and it just had a lot of frosting, that's fine. I don't care.
Right. You'd take a little dip.
It's not gross.
Got some actual alternate titles for this movie. I'm so happy when I come up with them.
Oh, what do you got?
Where like you said, the name Raw Deal isn't going to work for foreign audiences at all.
Yeah.
It barely works for us. Like we kind of get that what a raw deal is, but like the movie doesn't really have a double cross that goes to, you know, all to hell. Mm-hmm. So in Latin America, the movie was called Kaminsky.
Kaminsky.
Not Kaminsky bad. Method.
No.
Right. No, but there's a Kaminsky and there's a Leminsky in this movie, and they really should have figured out a way to make two opposing characters have different names.
That would have been great.
It was also
going with Old Fellas.
Yeah.
It was also called Triple Identity overseas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. It was also it's what do they call that before you make the final decision? It's your trick name or your what do you call it? Your secret name, whatever.
Your secret name. I'm going with secret
alias.
Name.
Like your alias.
No,
alias. Great name.
The name
too.
Of your movie before.
It's working title. Is
working
what
title.
Your nom de plume. A working title.
Yeah. That's
and,
the term.
The weird one is in Japan. This movie was called Gorilla.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, they took one look at Schwarzenegger and said, "Gorilla, look at him. He's huge.
Hairless gorilla."
He could beat us with like his arms.
Yeah. Maybe people will think this is a nature documentary. Let's do it.
Happy Junior
I mean,
Fun Time,
really,
they should have called
really
it.
Really not at all having anything to do with the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what the gorilla
Well, I mean, kind of like,
was he like a gorilla fighter? Like he's on his
own?
Yeah,
gorilla warfare is what I was thinking.
Oh,
yeah.
Gorilla.
Like yeah.
Because he, yeah, gorilla.
Gorilla.
Jerry-rilla. Got it. All right. I have they clips. Do you want me to do clips? I have some.
Oh my gosh. There's got to be so many wonderful clips.
Check out these. By the way, the final four notes of my notes were not his best, has some moments, was best when the action was on, a lot of talking and downtime for Arnold. Those are my notes. Yeah. I was really bummed out.
Here's one quick thing I did write down. Navy Pier, where that battle, the car chase goes on.
Yeah.
The end of the pier, that kind of curved front building, mm-hmm. is the ballroom where I just did the Geek Bowl.
Wow.
Geeks to Drink
really?
Geek Bowl.
Oh, no
the
way.
Last time it feels like the last time I left the house was when I went to Chicago.
Interesting. To Chicago, yeah.
All right. So this was actually filmed in Chicago. I wasn't sure if they were cheating or whatever.
And some in North Carolina, right?
The what? The who?
Might have been.
Some in North Carolina.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I'm sure the Jeep motorcycle chase was probably there. Yeah. But the, yeah.
You
so apparently.
Jeep and motorcycle lie. Go ahead.
Before they turned Navy Pier into a tourist destination. Because if you go there now, it's nothing but shops and restaurants and entertainment and, you know, stick you in a. In a box that jostles around and has a video screen in the front that makes you feel like you're on a roller coaster.
Little gentrification happened there, did it?
A little bit.
You know, I was thinking about you, Ibbot, because I was thinking about when they were playing Trivial Pursuit. In the lodge there, I was trying to figure out, would this be the year that the greatest amount of hype was around that game? Because there was one point in time, you got Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was everywhere.
Yeah, this would have been right in the excitement of Trivial Pursuit. And the card says boops.
Yeah.
The card says boops. I'm sorry. It's the Moors.
It is not how you play Trivial Pursuit, by the way.
No, it's not.
This movie did not even try.
Right.
One guy asks a question. The other one says, I'm going to take a guess. The other guy smiles at him and just puts the card back.
Like, yeah, yeah.
What?
They don't know the rules, dude.
Yeah. Well, it was before we understood the complexities of how to play Trivia.
Right, right.
Yeah. Things wow. got clear.
It took us
later.
A while to wrap our mind around the
it's true story. It was hard. Wait, I got this little round piece and I get pies?
Yeah.
What is this?
Answer the question. If you get it right, you get a piece of plastic to shove into the larger piece of plastic. It's the easiest game ever.
Yeah. Simple. Simple and easy. It was another decade. It was in the 90s when we finally figured out how Trivial Pursuit was supposed to work. So that's how it is. All right. Here is I got some clips for you all here today. You may have asked why I've asked you here today. It's because I got clips. So here are my clips. Let's start with this one. This is I don't know what. So here it is.
How many times was John Wayne nominated for an Academy Award?
Probably not enough.
And then puts the card back. Good job.
Yeah. No answer. Just yep. Congratulations, you're not getting nothing.
Yep.
And I think the answer is once for True Grit Rooster Cogburn, but I don't know for sure. That would be my guess.
I think that is correct, but I'm not sure.
I want to know if that's an actual question in Trivial Pursuit.
It might be. It might be.
That is my trivia question.
Hold on, let's see.
In the Genius Edition?
John Wayne.
The Genius Edition. That's the one I had. Which ones did you have? Had to have the blue or the gold writing foil, right?
Yeah. The actual answer.
I had the World
three.
Of Warcraft.
So he was nominated he was nominated for three Oscars. You're right. He was winner for True Grit, nominee for the Alamo, nominee for Sands of Iwo Jima, and then a winner for a bunch of other stuff.
Sands of Iwo Jima and True Grit were for acting, and the Alamo was for directing.
Oh, I didn't know he directed that. That's cool.
What about that crappy movie you watched where he was in a safari? What was that called?
Hatari.
Oh, we didn't watch it, remember? We canceled it and didn't do it for the show.
Oh, I thought we did.
Nope.
Well, I definitely watched it.
Oh, I know you did. I think you were the one that kiboshed it. Didn't you come back and say, oh, got to veto this one?
No, I thought we watched it. I thought we did a sack on it. Did we not?
Nope. That one's famous for, we got, I think we may all have watched it and then all came to the conclusion that we're not doing this. Because I made clips and stuff and everything and we didn't do it. We never made an episode.
It is so perfectly sackable.
We may have to come back to it. I don't know. Let's give it a more time so I can forget about it.
I definitely watched it at the time. I remember watching it about 6 years ago.
Well, here
I remember watching all 3 hours of it as well.
Yeah. Maybe that was the problem. Here is there was a scene where Arnold needed to pee. And so this was the solution. We're having a potty. Because he can't say party. So he said potty.
Nice.
I like this.
The hell it's not.
She is really worked up, dude.
Shit. Come
hell
on.
It's not.
Oh, this cake is shitty. Blah. All right.
My life sucks. I got a raw deal. Thank you for saying the title of the movie.
That would be great if the cake said raw deal on it.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be great.
We can edit that now.
Yeah, you can.
With
computers. All right, here he is being health conscious.
This is going to make us fat.
You think because we're in shape, we're not already fat?
What I think. Because if we're in shape, we're not fat.
Yeah, I don't.
Wait, are you talking about PHAT or FAT?
Too early for that, I think.
Too early for that.
Yeah.
Because round is a shape.
That's true. This is Arnold again doing something. Oh, yeah, this is a dumb line.
You should not drink and bake.
Don't drink and bake.
Who should not drink and bake? However, if you want to drink and then get baked, that's okay.
You son of a bitch. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So there's the most memorable line in the movie, and it's been with me my entire life. I saw this movie when I was too young to see it. And I am certain there's a Mandela effect for me here because I remember him being Super Arnold saying that line. I remember him saying, "You should not drink and bake," and I remembered it. I just remember that real seriously. And so watching this movie this week, and then hearing him kind of deliver the line, I'm like, oh, they must have gone back and overdubbed that. They must have. There's no way.
Maybe
that didn't used to be really badly delivered because that's what made it memorable.
The best part is the emphasis on bake.
You should not drink and bake.
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 Bake. Bake. I like when he does that.
He's actually surprisingly good at delivering some lines at this point in his career.
Yeah, this is like him where he starts to really start branching that out, and it gets real crazy after this. Then it's nonstop. Here's some big M words for whatever that means. Okay, so here's this.
I know exactly. You're gonna do the alliteration of what happens.
Yes, it made me laugh so hard. All right, here it is.
He molested, murdered, and mutilated her.
I'll bet that's like the 12th murdered take, and dude.
Mutilated.
He molested, totally. Murdered, and mutilated her.
He basically did the 3M. He did the 3M on her.
The final, gotta, even her is hard for him to say, but yeah.
You gotta believe, though, they did go back and do a lot of retakes of audio.
Oh, yeah.
They just had to. There's no way he got these right every time while the cameras were rolling on the best shot.
Yeah.
And the one that blew my mind, I'm wondering if you have this, is he tries to tell a joke during the fake lovemaking scene where they're like headed toward the bedroom. And they fall through the door. And so the camera isn't on his face. So they can record him saying this joke all they want. They can just keep going and going until they get it right. And they didn't get it right.
Oh, where he says, where the bed, you know what I like about bedrooms? There are often beds in them or whatever.
That's not a joke. It's not even a joke.
It's like almost always a bed in there.
It's and so they're like, dumb.
I had to listen to that 5 times to understand what he said. I don't understand why they didn't just get it right.
Well, I do have a few things like that coming.
I want to say one thing right here in the middle of the show, just to stop the show.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say that I
Cobra.
Cobra was a better movie. So let's move on. No, I just want to say I love and appreciate what Scott Johnson has done all these years on FilmSack, where he watches every movie a little bit differently than his other three. He watches and listens. I'm sure he probably mostly watches it at his computer so he can capture these audio clips.
Yeah, I have to. I don't have any other choice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a different experience.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of envious of that. I've been trying to kind of do that a little bit lately with some movies.
Hear, it's great because when you're sitting there and you're like, all right, I'm paying attention to plot and character and stuff and moments. But occasionally someone will go, and I'll go, what the hell was that? And I'll just record it because I love when movies leave weird artifacts in them. Like, and they all seem to do it. They're like, there's hardly one of these episodes that goes by without some weird, shitty, weird thing. And we're coming up on a couple here that I just scratch my head and go, well, who in editing said, yeah, go ahead, leave it in.
Like, well, I just wanted to thank Scott and just point out that very special role that Scott plays.
Oh, what a lovely thing to say. I feel like I should, make out with you during a pandemic.
Say thank you. Next clip.
Next clip. Here it is. When Brian Ibbett was asked about his prom night, this was his response. This is some old tape I got from your mom. Okay, you ready? Here it is.
All right, ready.
Brian Ibbett asked about his prom night.
I'll take the fifth on this.
Okay. You wouldn't tell. He wouldn't say.
On anything else you want to ask me, Mom? Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah. And he's like, I'll take the fifth on the next question. Yeah. I'll take the fifth on what I want for lunch.
Yep.
Like,
is this a congressional hearing? This just an investigation, or is this actually
a
trial?
They made
I never
that
could
up.
Understand.
It sounded like congressional hearing stuff, and it just seems really contrived and stupid.
You don't really take the fifth.
No. But Brian would if you asked him about his prom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's that Dirty Harry line again.
Who do you think I look like? Dirty Harry?
What's great is he's... I hate how he ends it. Dirty Harry? What I hate about it is, or what I like about it, is he's talking to Harry when he says Dirty Harry.
Who do you think I look like? Dirty Harry?
There's something I like about that, but...
He paused too long.
And it's such a weird... It's such a weird phrasing of that line. It should be, who do I look like? Dirty Harry? Or who do you think I am? Dirty Harry?
Yeah.
But not, who do you think I look like?
Yeah. Who do you think I look like? Dirty
that
Harry?
That whole scene was weird anyway.
Who do you
think
I greatly resemble? Dirty Harry?
It's them sitting in a room somewhere with Harry doing a lot of arm action. It's a really weird scene.
Who do I have an uncanny resemblance to? All right.
Isn't Facebook. You can't ask that here.
That's right. Here's one I called Unhappy Man. I think that might be the line.
I think you look like an unhappy man.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah. That's why I named it that, because that's what he says. All right. When asked what band he would like to hear on the radio, he replied,
"You have a cure."
You have the cure.
Oh.
He likes the cure, you know.
Satisfaction.
Friday I'm in Love, all that stuff.
Yeah, he's a big fan of Pictures of You.
That's so, right.
You know.
Yeah, I like
Between
the Cure.
Days, you know, he loves all that.
I'm
stuff.
In the mood now. I'm gonna listen to the Cure later.
There you go.
All right, here's the hanging guy. He was cracking me up. There's the dude that was stuck on the rafters in the bar blasted out. And so here's that guy.
Uh,
He's just up there going,
I did not hear that at all. I loved it.
That guy even made it into the trailer, by the way. If you go and watch the Rodial trailer, I watched it this morning. That rafter guy makes it into the trailer.
Oh, that's man. Hilarious. I meant to keep, I was mean to watch trailers before we do this. I always forget to do it. That's a good
thing. Now, is this the original 80s trailer you're discussing, or was it the remastered HD trailer, which, by the way, makes this movie look fantastic?
No, the HD one I see on IMDb. No, this one was on YouTube, and it's definitely '80s as hell.
Yeah,
That was a great stunt. Like, I was so impressed with the stunts in this movie.
Some of them,
throwing a guy up onto the thing, and then he falls down onto a table.
Yeah,
that was just amazing.
Some of that was okay. A lot of the, if you look at a lot of the stunts in this movie, though, they were really bad. Well, like you guys are making fun of in your openers, like the death shots were
everybody
over dramatic.
Nobody knows how to just fall down and die. Like I if I had the gift capabilities that Scott and Dunaway have, I would have absolutely captured the guy on top of the crane, the first guy that gets shot in the gravel pit, because he has a spasm.
Is this what it looks like? It's so weird. There was one guy who had a squib that exploded, but it was like lower in his rib cage, but he grabs his heart.
Yeah.
So it's a weird scene. It's like the squib blows up over here, but then he like grabs his heart. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, wrong hole.
It's weird.
Yeah, he grabbed the wrong hole.
Wrong hole.
We've all been there. Go ahead, Randy.
I just want to restate, though, like there are some great stunts in this movie. Like you're talking a lot about bad acting, but like there's just this really simple thing where they've figured out the ultimate heist on City Hall or the police department or whatever you want to call it, and they've figured out how to get everybody out and get their crew in and steal a bunch of money and drugs and get out with it safely. And the crew has to run into the building, run down hallways, and set up outside a vault. And that crew could have totally looked like a bunch of Keystone Cops while they were doing it. But they looked amazing.
Yeah, they
looked like they had, like they're running and they're pointing guns in places and they're looking around. And it's just like, it was one of those simple little things where I just, the stunt coordinator deserves some credit for making that look good.
Absolutely.
Also, that's a cool heist idea. I don't think I've seen one in a movie where they said, hey, what if we claim to be bomb experts to stop this fake bomb, and this thing we carry in there is the thing we carry the bomb out with, and instead it's now full of money, but we're now rushing out with it, and everyone thinks there's a bomb in there. So, of course, everyone out of the way, get a safe distance, get in this truck. Like, that feels like a unique heist idea, but maybe I've seen it before and I just don't remember, but... Seemed like a solid plan.
I love the scene where Schwarzenegger proposes it, because the other two men in the room are lifelong gangsters and they both look so impressed. They're both like, whoa, that's a great idea. Because it actually is.
Yeah. Well, speaking of
one I'd watch that film.
Oh, I would too. I totally would. Speaking of one of those guys, this is my favorite line from him.
You son of a bitch!
I like that guy.
You son of a bitch!
It's almost like he says, you're spun of a bitch.
Let
me try it again.
You're spun of a bitch.
See? You can see that. You're spun of a bitch. All right.
Spawn. I get it. Okay. Spawn of a bitch.
Oh, spawn of a bitch.
You're spun of a bitch.
I'm not sure what he means. All right.
Spawn.
Here's Arnold saying, shut up in the back of the car.
Shut up.
All right. Where he had the gun out and did that whole thing.
Maturity. Give it to me.
In this movie, I asked, where's Down?
Down.
There is no Down.
There is no Down. Okay, cool.
That's good.
There's no spoon.
This is the best.
I'm in a computer.
Look me up. I'm in a computer.
But it's so I'm 86. In a computer. Yeah. It's a computer. You're going to have to look around and find the computer.
Yeah, the computer.
That is a computer I'm in.
Yeah. There's no interconnected anything in 86. Not really. Not in this place. Not in this gangster hideout.
I'm in a computer.
In the computer. All right. P is for what?
What's a P stand?
Pussy.
Okay. Jeez.
You did it. You did it.
Yeah.
Why would you assign that as your own middle name?
I don't know.
You know what's odd, though? I felt like there was so much more of a pregnant pause between when he actually responded.
I edited out a little bit of space there. Did you?
Right. Okay, good, good.
You really thought about it.
Yeah.
Because I was going through my head. I was like, P is for pudding.
Predator?
Yeah, Predator. He should have said, oh, why didn't he say Predator? I guess Predator wasn't out yet. That was the next year.
No. Yeah.
Oh, weird. I'm getting all my timelines mixed up. Okay, this lady's great.
When was the last time you had a good piss?
I don't know. When was it? You want to have a good piss
now?
Oh,
yes, the old attractive FBI agent to distract the...
Yep.
The guard.
Jogging
right
in her hard
gonorrhea.
Shoes. Yeah, exactly. You can trace it back. All right. This movie's... What? Oh, here's one of the I'll be backs, but in a different way. Okay? So here's this one.
I'll be checking back with you.
That made me laugh so hard. Because like I could tell they were going to do it. It was right when he was like sticking his cigar in the hole in the guy's desk. And he looks up and he goes... And the whole point was he was going to be back. So I'm like, oh, here it is. He's going to say it. And he looks in the camera and goes,
I'll be checking back with you.
What the crap, dude? All right, here's, I don't know what this is.
I think so.
Oh, this is him when he's drunk. What? And this sounds ridiculous. That's him going, I think so.
I think so.
I think so.
I think so.
It's really weird.
He's pretending to be drunk, and then we get the incredible shot of looking down the hallway, and he's trying to figure out what she's doing, and so he's doing stage snoring to throw her off.
Hey, you know, usually I would not buy any stage snoring, but from Schwarzenegger, I feel like that's how he would snore.
No, because he did this. He went like this. He went, and then he went.
Yeah, he almost did.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Exactly. I would love that. I want the supercut of that.
I don't have it, unfortunately. But here he is laughing while he's drunk, so there's that. It's nice and subtle. All right, what's this?
Smart, I like. Smart ass, I don't.
Okay, jeez.
That's a good line.
So serious.
Yeah, that's that same guy that yelled,
Smart watch, I want.
You're son of a bitch!
It's that same dude. Dial dipshit. What?
Dial dipshit.
Oh, dial dipshit. She was just awful.
Oh yeah, that was a weird scene. That was in the mall when the retribution came about.
Call
for,
the police.
Yep.
Call security.
Yeah, that was so. How are those three guys who are usually gambling at night and out in the middle of the day, walking down the mall, eating their giant cookies and Orange Julius, just happened to notice that he's in there from the back of his head while somebody's getting dressed out.
You're making
also
me
a comment on social etiquette from the time will a man sit while a woman changes clothes in a mall? Because it used to be like, no.
Boy, she was so surprised that he was going to do that for her, too.
You're going to stay here? Oh, I like you so much.
Yeah.
Friend zoned.
Yep. And then things went bad.
Dial dipshit.
And she got to be rude. Hard on the helmet.
Can we save that clip for when we're trying to get people to call in for Babel Royale?
That's a great idea. I am going to market to do that. Hold on. Use this. Go to TMS. Market. All right. I now have a note on it to remind me. Here's the second version of I'll Be Back.
I'll be right back.
Now it's I'll Be Right Back.
Right. That's good.
Here's the music I was talking about. Straight out of some TV show. Jeez. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Waiting for it. Yeah. It had some sax, but I didn't get that part.
It had some keyboards playing sax sound.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
That's some weird music, man. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
This movie also had a We've Got Company. Mm-hmm. That was exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've Got Company is like the Wilhelm scream of lines.
Yeah. We've Got Company. That happens a lot in so many movies. Also, let's quickly just mention, I know Dunaway mentioned it earlier in passing, but... we got two movies in a row, this and Nighthawks, both featured a licensed song from the Rolling Stones.
Yes.
Wasn't the same song, was it? It wasn't.
This one on cassette. I couldn't tell if it was the original or not because I was so distracted by all the
Well, according to the trivia, it's a different cassette that he puts into the into the tape player. Then it's not really the album
like
that has satisfaction on it.
It looked like a cassette single. I just don't know.
What was the song last week, though? This week it was Satisfaction.
Sugar was last
Brown
week, I think.
Sugar.
And this week is.
Okay.
And then the version of this song we hear is an edit where we're hearing the beginning of the chorus over and over. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. we never hear whole swaths of the song. Yeah. It goes on for a while, but it's just it just repeats the part of the song they wanted to to play
that he can't get any satisfaction.
Yeah, he can't get any satisfaction.
Bad customer service.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. All right, here
it is funny though how he like that stops immediately when he runs into the bulldozer or the front loader. But the fact that he does not have a seatbelt on doesn't make him fly through the missing windshield into the...
I did like how they realistically portrayed him kicking out the windshield. That is the appropriate amount of effort it would take for Schwarzenegger to kick out.
He did it. They're just like, we're going to roll these cameras. You're going to kick that thing out. Go.
Yeah.
And he did it. Mm. It was beautiful.
That sounds about right. Here's my favorite other mispronunciation by Schwarzenegger in this film. Here you go.
I want you to be the godfather.
I want you to be the godfather.
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 We're the new mom.
I want you to be the godfather.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Here's Darren McGavin. What's his name? I always forget his name.
Darren McGavin.
Doing some angry acting.
All right. I'll help. Like, give me the goddamn chair.
Okay.
Jeez.
I can't walk.
He can't walk.
I can't walk.
I did like the simplicity of he can't walk and then just, yeah, you can. Okay.
And then you did. Sweet. And then we're smiling and then we fade out. Frozen screen, too. That was very Rocky at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Do a little Rocky moment, speaking of your Cobra.
And then Socorro Santiago there as the generic nurse who can cry on cue, I guess. That was nice.
She's pretty
good. That's how you get that job. She's played a nurse 4 times in her filmography.
It sounds like she may be typecast a little bit.
A little bit.
Well, knowing what we know, this. Time for the Film Sack Checklist. If you're going to do a drive-by, do it with the slowest school bus ever. Check. Drive-by shootings are best when you shoot your own windshield out first. Check. And you got to make Harry walk before he can be your kid's godfather. Check.
Godfather.
Trek connections, there are 3. Leon Rippey plays Man in Tux in TNG. He played LQ Sonny Clemons in the first season episode of Neutral Zone, or The Neutral Zone, rather. Ed Lauter, who played Baker on TNG, played Lieutenant Commander Albert in the 5th season episode, The First Duty. And then finally, Dick Durock, who played Dingo in this.
Played Dingo?
Yeah, Dick Durock is Dingo. Played an Elasian guard in the 3rd season episode called A Land of Troyes. He was also Swamp Thing in those movies.
What?
Yeah, that guy. Swamp Thing.
Wow.
He says those movies. I think he means that movie, because weren't there only the one with Ray?
No, there were several.
Ray, what's his name? I don't know. Anyway, soundtrack grade. Ooh. I'm giving it an 8 for 80s as shit.
Yeah. Eight.
I couldn't think of it. E, I guess. That's the letter I was looking for.
Did you think at all about what this movie would have sounded like if they'd used an orchestra and a real score?
Yeah, it would have been better.
Yeah.
Just.
It could have been really awesome.
The music right now that's really killing it is the new season, specifically the new season of Westworld, the music they've chosen to go with. Mm. Amazing. It's so
we're
good.
About to start binge watching that now that the finale is this weekend, so
you're gonna love it. Tell me you don't love that music after you hear it, because it's
I resubbed because HBO Max comes out later this month.
Oh yeah, thanks to Ibit here, I found out about the deal for the
little
months.
Combo deal. That's what I did too. Did a little
it's
combo
a great
deal.
But
as far as the music goes, what this movie would have been like, or more like, if it had, you know, the better music, would be Cobra.
Cobra. I was waiting for that.
I knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time.
That was the elevator arriving on this floor.
Yeah.
Ding.
To underline what Scott just said, it's Ramin Djawadi. Like, that guy is just... He can do no wrong the last decade.
It's really true. And his themes, his openers are good, but his actual episode-to-episode stuff here is... step ahead. It's so good. I want to get it. I don't know why that album's not out yet, but it isn't. Probably will be when the season's done. this season of Westworld. I would love it.
Oh, the new one? Yeah. It's like all of his stuff is on Spotify, so it will be there soon.
Yeah.
But man, it's just amazing to find these movies over the last 10 years that you have never seen. Maybe you heard about it when it came out in 2015. Oh, look, Ramin Djawadi did the soundtrack. That's going to be good music.
Yeah, he's very good. He's really a Game of Thrones guy. Did the same good work over there. All right. Oh, we also did the Warcraft movie. Forgot about that.
And the Kaiju versus Big Robots movie.
Pacific Rim.
Thank you,
Pacific Rim. Yeah.
Had a good soundtrack. He's good, turns out. All right. Where are we now? Let's do the Twitter post. This is where you guys in 180 characters, sorry, 280 characters or less, sum this thing up. Steal. Let's start with Randy.
Raw deal. Before you head to the bedroom, pretend to be drunk while she pretends to be drunk. And then she's going to be so disappointed when you fall asleep immediately after showing her your incredible nippleless chest. Just like a Saturday night at Ipsos.
Nippleless.
I'd heard rumors.
Nippleless.
I'd heard rumors, but never had confirmation on your nipples. All right. Brian Dunaway.
Raw deal. Spelled backwards is lead war. That is all.
Lead wow. war. Really lead is. War.
That lead would have war. Been a better name for the movie.
Yeah. The great fight over, like, how are we going to make our pencils? We're starting a lead war.
Oh, I forgot. Hashtag shit cake.
Oh, shit cake.
Right.
And thanks to Pokemon, we know that Cobra backwards is Arbok.
There you go. Oh. Nice job. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Raw Deal, the movie that visits Kinks, the bar where everybody is Lola.
Oh. I get it. Because the Kinks sing Lola. I get it. It's very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, it's time for the alternate title. He's just handed to me. It was almost called Raw Veal, but the people felt PETA got involved and they shut that down. Mm-hmm. And then finally, hold on. I had to do this on time. That's just to be timed properly. Okay, here we go. Was this going to work? Okay.
What kind of a deal?
Raw deal. Oh, I didn't do it right.
I kept thinking that the whole time I kept watching this. You got to watch Raw Deal.
I should have edited a version that I could more work with, but it's the whole thing.
I also wanted you to capture him saying Harry because you could pair it up with Barry.
Barry. That'd be all right. Barry. I'm always happy to play.
Barry.
That's always a pleasure for me.
Jill.
Try it, Brian. Give it. Do it.
Jill. 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 Jill.
After a while, you can't tell the difference.
It's like amazing. A tennis or a ping pong match of Jill is what it is.
It's really good. All right. Well, there's your alternate titles. Let's get to an email here from Mike, who wrote in and says, Nighthawks, I saw this movie in theaters with some friends in college. The thing that got me was that Sly thought that being a muggy decoy was the height of his career. Usually in an action movie like this, the hero would take a chance in the opening scene and then screw up and then get busted down to Muggsy decoy. Or mugging decoy. Mugging decoy. Anyway. And when the big thing starts to happen, they have to pull him back on. But not Sly. That's right. He says there's a scene when they tell him he's not on the terrorist task force and he argues with his superior that he should be on the mugging deal. Apparently he can't see an advanced opportunity when it stares him right in the face while hanging over the East River in a helicopter. No,
true story.
No capitalizations, no periods, no nothing. That's one that I love that about your message there, Mike. Thank you for that. Sorry, Dunaway, you were gonna say something?
What's a raw deal?
You were going to say something in the middle there, Dunaway? No?
Maybe. Oh, me?
Yeah. Weren't you?
Raw Cobra was better.
Oh, well, I knew that.
Yeah.
I got one more quick one from Robert in Huntsville, Alabama. He says, longtime writer and first-time listener. Wait, strike that. Reverse it. Thank you, he says. Now, if you're looking for some suggestions for FilmSec, please allow me. And here is his quick-fire list. Hawk the Slayer says it has swords, sorcery, and Jack Palance overacting. What more could you ask for? Next up, River's Edge, Crispin Glover, Keanu Reeves play teenage burnouts. Dennis Hopper plays a psychotic weed dealer.
Wait, what's it called?
River's Edge. Ages ago, but I would totally film sack it. That's
good. Yeah.
All right. So far, we're 2 for 2 on You Gotta Pay Money to Watch These.
All right. Iron Eagle, the ultimate 80s teen rescue fantasy movie. Plus, it has Davis Suchet as the bad guy. I don't know who
and
that
we're
is.
Sure we haven't sacked it because I've
it?
Seen it. Recently.
We have made attempts to watch Iron Eagle. Yeah. We've never seen it.
You may have right. you when we watched Top Gun, you may have thought you saw Iron Eagle.
We don't need, and plus we need to see Iron Eagle 2 or 3.
Brian Ibbett shut up.
Oh, and also,
just because two movies have planes in them, it does not make them the same.
Iron Eagle is a really bad ripoff of Top Gun, straight up. It just is. So I think Gibbet's on the right path there. Also, it's got Oscar winner. Oh, what's his name?
Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah, Louis Gossett Jr. in there. He's like the grizzled, angry captain man. So anyway, we should watch everything.
Also available for money, but I can't find it streaming.
Well, right. Iron Eagle 4 streaming.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, really? Whoa.
Right.
I don't even know what that even look like. It must be. We're not starting.
You didn't
with
watch
that.
The Iron Eagle series? I mean, they have like a new one like almost every year.
I
for
watched
a while.
The first one years and years ago. Oh, I've never seen anything else. So
kept going.
I assume
never stopped.
It's shit. I assume it's all bad. All right, here's this one. Get Crazy. It's New Year's Eve. Malcolm McDowell is a British rock star. V. Ling of Fear fame sings the blues, and Bobby Sherman and Fabian are evil henchmen to Ed Begley Jr.
What?
Right. Get this... Crazy is the name of that movie.
There was a decade where all of these people were doing stuff?
I don't know what the year was, but we need to. Brian's right. Wow. That is too weird to pass up. We got to do
so
it.
So I have found something I can't find Get Crazy, but I did find Let's Get Crazy starring Hannah Montana, and I think that's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure exactly the same. I'm sure. Yeah. He says all of these except the last one is available via Prime, he says.
Oh.
So maybe they're on Prime. Maybe your source is
I've just been searching Prime. They all want money. Oh, every one of those wanted money.
He says Get Crazy is on YouTube. We could do that one maybe. Says, anyway, I thought I'd just share these. Love the show. Started listening with either the Karate Kid or Willy Wonka episode, and I kept on from there. Keep up the good work.
Those are good.
You're welcome, Robert. Thank you for your email. That was awesome. Our next film is Bandits. Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, and the rest.
Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett. They are all bandits.
Yeah, bandits. Kate Bandit. we're getting that all up in here. I've never seen it. No idea what to expect. This is, 2000 or something? 2001? Something like that.
Yeah. Fairly recent,
yeah.
2001, correct. Yes, 2001.
That'd be like 20
years
ago.
After we watch these three films, we get to open a Planet Hollywood.
I like that Brian. Oh, nice. I like that Brian called 20 years ago recent. I like that.
Well, yeah, I know.
Ish.
Most
anything like, you know, hey, compared to Raw Deal and Nighthawks.
Right.
Good point. That's a good point. I remember when we were starting the show in 2009, and it seemed like sacrilege for us to do something from 03. I think it was Core.
Right.
Sacrilege.
The Core. Yeah, it was the Core, I think. And we were all like, can we really do that only 6 years on? That doesn't seem right. Now look at us.
Most importantly about Bandits, this is a Barry Levinson movie.
I love it.
And you have to ask a question. Like, a guy like Barry Levinson makes Diner and Rain Man and Toys and Wag the Dog. What would he do next? Find out.
And if it's any good, he made one of my favorite movies of all time. Barry Levinson made the great film Avalon. I love Avalon. Avalon's one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. It still stands, still good. Barry Levinson forever, but he's also made some real stinkers. So
Sphere.
Is bad.
Hey, I got a question.
Go.
Lava tubes.
When are we going to work some fantasy back
wait,
in?
Wait, Lava Tubes is from Congo.
I know, but it was also based on a Jim
Patterson. Oh, you went to Michael Crichton. That's a deep
Michael
cut.
Crichton.
All yes, right. Michael Crichton. Instead of laughing, I actually should have awarded you some award for that, because that's a deep cut. Well done. I take it all back. For real, I do. I was not giving you credit. All right, Dunaway, sorry. What were you saying? You said something.
Oh, I said, when are we going to work some fantasy back into the mix? It's been a while since we've seen any fantasy films, right?
Why? Yes, the following week, we're going to get back to our Final Destination. Uh-huh. And that's a fantasy movie.
Well, sort of.
I was thinking more like old school fantasy.
You
like,
mean like swords and sorceries and that stuff like
swords
that?
Swords and sorceries, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what we got on the list.
Oh, I got something.
Some magic.
We'll talk about it after the show. I got something for you.
All right. Well, Bandits is going to be just fine in between now and then. So check us out. That's next week. Bandits. Get your Bruce Willis on. Next film sack. If you want to send us emails, were you just doing Get Your Freak On? Is that what I was hearing?
Yeah, duh.
If you want to send us emails like Mike did, a couple ways to do it. You can use our good old-fashioned email address, filmsack@gmail.com, or if you'd prefer, just go to the website, filmsack.com, and use the little form on the page there. It doesn't take any personal information, and you can send it in 2 seconds. So it's up to you which way you go, but we'd love it if you did. You can leave your voicemails at 801-471-0462, and you can find, like I said, everything else at filmsack.com. You can also find us on Twitter at FilmSec and leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us and by us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
You should not drink and bake.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
He molested, murdered, and mutilated her.